Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that is solely dedicated to you, the industrial, the manufacturing pros and companies that get it done. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. Innovate out the wazoo. That's why we celebrate you. You're making my life better. You're making the world better. You guys are absolutely incredible people and companies. Thank you very much. Another great interview, of course. And it's going to be wrapped around the COVID, the elephant in the room, and how there's this unintended consequence of the EAM industry. That's the enterprise asset management industry. Let's get going. Yeah, his name is Steve Richman. I've interviewed him in the past. He's a great guy. And he is the CEO and founder of Projectech. And we're going to be talking about that. And that's that. What's an interesting topic or observation is when there was this pre-virus, pre-COVID, whatever, everything was just rocking and rolling and having a grand old time, and people were focused on their assets, keeping it up and running, and doing the right things. And then COVID hits, and then we couldn't be on site, or we didn't know what to do. What happens? The facilities either had to shut down or keep going. And if they kept going, how do I manage? What do I do? How do I see into my asset? And I can't go there. A ton, and I mean a ton of questions and challenges have occurred as a result of this next normal we call whatever. I don't know. I'm going to call it next normal. That is, that's a shout out to Jay Ferran of Team Neo. But anyway, there's a ton of stuff that we've got to talk about. And in industry and in manufacturing, how do you survive? How do you rebuild? How do you prosper? And that's always going to be the theme going forward on this podcast, because we have to. We have to be about retaining talent, right? And when we start talking about retaining talent, that's an advantage. That's a competitive advantage. How do we do that right? Especially when you have the labor force, the workforce, the country in chaos. How do you do that? How do you keep that door open? How do you manage your risk? How do you save money? Because you can't continue. I mean, you're going to have to continue to save money, definitely. You want to be efficient. But how do you grow your business is really the key on some of these conversations, because we need to bring in revenue. We need to do that. And we got to do it through a spirit of collaboration, right? A spirit of innovation, a spirit of education. You got to educate. That's been when I came back from Northeast Ohio, and we were talking about some of the key elements associated with how to keep going. Education was at the very top. And you got to do it with a sense of speed, sense of urgency. And I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but and it, you know, we're just scratching the surface. And we're talking to some of the best leaders within industry and in manufacturing for solutions. And they're bringing the, you know, truth bombs here that we need to hear each and every day. All right, let's get to the interview. Steve Richman. I think I met him in Orlando a couple of years back. And they're heavily into Maximo and provide solutions for Maximo and companies that use that EAM platform. But anyway, he's a great guy, great insights, and we just talk about just from a generally a point of view of the enterprise asset management market industry as a whole, as it's been hit by COVID. So anyway, enjoy the interview with Steve Richman. Steve, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I know you're a busy man. Thank you very much for joining. How are you doing?
Scott, I'm great. It's always good to see you. I haven't seen you in a bit. So even under the circumstances, it's a pleasure to lay eyes on you again.
I got to tell you, man, Zoom is fantastic. It is. I mean, I've had the opportunity. It's like this virtual open door policy right? I'll see things that just jump on my calendar and it's like, oh, hi, how are you? And now you're in my studio. And it's been a sort of the positive side of this whole COVID world we live in today.
No doubt about it. I love to tell the story. I've got a neighbor, very successful businessman. He's been retired about 25 years. He still carries a flip phone and he shares an email address with his wife. He's basically technology adverse. Now, this same gentleman 2 weeks ago told me that we were done with our chat in the yard. He had to go in and he was Zooming with his grandchildren. So not only has he adopted technology that we would never touched 10 weeks ago, but he's using it as a verb. So we've gone
Zooming.
We've gone from new technology, nobody'd ever heard of it in January, to mainstream technology that people now use as a verb. I think it's a massive transformation.
It is, and it makes my life easier because pre-pandemic, I would always have, okay, now you need to go here and do this. People weren't really, but now it's like, yeah, they're pop on. I'm Zooming. Yeah. I know what to do. It's no big deal. Boom, boom, boom.
And, you rip the Band-Aid off and away it goes.
Yeah, it just is fantastic for me. And you know what else I'm always dazzled with? I do these podcasts all around the world, right? There is no interruption or quality degradation. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how technology does that. It blows me away. All right, for the listeners, we're chit-chatting. For the listeners out there, give us a little background on who Steve is and why you're such an incredible professional.
Well, that's tough to come back to. I run a business called Progitech, and we're in Cincinnati, Ohio. Progitech's an IBM partner, and essentially we put a stack of products together. The primary business application is Maximo, and we serve that up as a service. Maximo as a service is our offering, and it's what we are focused on, and that's essentially all that we do.
Okay, so just for the listeners out there, one, how long has Progitech been around?
Actually, it was founded in 1990, so we're celebrating our 30th year in business.
Get out of here. Jeez. Yeah. And then just a general definition of what Maximo is.
Maximo is what you would, or what Gartner would refer to as an enterprise asset management system. 25 or 30 years ago, you would have called it computerized maintenance. The marketing people got a hold of computerized maintenance management, CMMS, and turned it into EAM because it sounded more important and it cost more money. That's Steve's opinion. I don't know.
That's okay. Steve can have that opinion if we're referring to Steve in the third person now.
Yeah.
But it's true. Now, what that means, if correct me if I'm wrong, I'm able to take a system like this, this EAM Maximo system, and be able to have a view of my, let's say, manufacturing, my industrial, my asset base, and be able to create the strategies for supporting that uptime of these assets and doing the right maintenance at the right time and all of the good stuff that's associated and keeping records of those assets. Is that correct?
That's very well stated. Yes. Obviously, compliance is very important depending on the industry. If you might have the EPA involved in your business or the FAA if you're flying aircraft, there's always some governmental regulations that need to be reported to. But ultimately, maintenance and reliability is everybody needs it. It's a competitive advantage regardless whether you're in a commoditized business or in a free-form you can sell anything to anybody business. So if you can save money with more reliability, you get more widgets out the door, you make more money.
Yeah, that's a fact, and it's an ongoing truth. But you bring up a good point, and I think that this is where our conversation is going to start to segue to is the COVID, the pandemic, whatever we want to call it, before it ever hit. It was like everybody was rocking and rolling and having conversations, doing all this, whatever they were doing, they were living life. And it was like a switch, boop, kink, and everything was shut down. And me, am fascinated, and I would love to hear your opinion about the impact that COVID is having on EAM, maintenance, reliability as a whole. Can you sort of just sort of paint that picture a little bit, Steve?
Well, certainly there's been some slowdown in certain industries. Obviously, some industries have been massively interrupted. Hospitality is not an area that we have a lot of business in. But when we talk about manufacturing, there's been interruptions. Supply chains have been interrupted. And one thing that fascinates me as you look at what has happened, what has been, what has occurred, in my view, we didn't used to consider remote employees often or in quantity prior to this event. And now I think you're seeing more and more companies say, well, if Bob can work from home for the last 3 months and we didn't miss a lick, then maybe Joe could do the same thing. Now, obviously, hands-on maintenance and mechanics and people like that aside, there are a lot of jobs that can be done from just about anywhere. And time zones really becomes your only constraint. So all of a sudden, your labor pool is expanded, right? It becomes very, very competitive. If you're manufacturing automobiles in Nashville and you need a maintenance and reliability engineer, he doesn't have to be in Nashville. He could be in St. Louis or Dallas or Chicago, as long as it's a similar time zone. And maybe not even then. Why couldn't he work in Portland, Oregon? But the converse of that is this same manufacturer is dependent on hard assets in a supply chain. And it used to be fairly commonplace for those supply chain people to be providing that stuff from thousands and thousands of miles away. And I think what you're seeing now are people are trying to reel their supply chains in. They want parts manufactured a lot closer to home because the interruption is so difficult to recover from.
Yeah, and I think companies are having those real conversations of creating, how do I create, this is painful, don't like it, how do I create long-term resiliency if this ever happens again? And guarantee you, your business continuity plan did not have global pandemic in it. It might have a tornado or something to that effect, more regional. But when you start talking global, when you start talking the impact of your overall supply chain, your logistics, and everything associated with that, and the necessity to distance, I'm finding that this is just sort of, but let me ask you this question. Have you seen, I mean, we experienced the anxiety, and now we're starting to sort of live in this new world. Do you find, has there been any degradation in the services or the ability to maintain assets or the ability to truly monitor the reliability of that asset?
Actually, I kind of believe I've seen the opposite. I think people, just as we talked a little bit about Zooming, I think people have taken to, video and photography and the visual aspect of maintenance and reliability in droves, whereas you used to pick up the phone and communicate with someone what it was you were looking at and what was wrong with it and what corrective action you thought was necessary. You're seeing a lot more sharing of visuals that you can get a half a dozen eyes on it, and three people can converse about what's the best course of action. And I think you find there's more expertise on a given problem, a little more focus on a given problem.
I have to agree with you on that. And I've heard, the stats. I don't know. Nobody's taking the stats, but I hear that productivity as a whole has gone up. Some saying 30%. And the reason for that is I don't have to get in my car. I don't have to drive in traffic. I don't have to go to the water cooler. I don't have to do certain things. All I do right now, because technology is such, it could be right here on the screen. I can do all my work here more effectively and efficiently and get it done. Now, I guess the problem is I could just roll out of bed and be in my skivvies and still do work, but that you're still doing work. So that's the only problem. I see it. And to your point, there is this, rewiring of the brain on how to really work more efficiently. And like you said, you got the video, you got multiple eyes. You don't have to go out to that asset. Maybe one person does, and everybody else can sort of look at that.
Sure. A lot more information availability too, as more and more people are making videos. I'm amazed. You know, I've got a 35-year-old Mercedes down in the garage, and I want to know how to take the door panel off to fix a light. And by golly, there's a TikTok. Walk me through, showed me screws I never knew existed, and, you know, easy peasy. It was unbelievable. And I had options. I had options, you know.
It's so funny that is truly the digital commerce. And yeah. I think when we start talking about Maximo, EAM, I think that there's a leading to that. Like I can, you know, theoretically through the Maximo, I can see what I need to see.
Absolutely. And in the past, you know, you were primarily looking at numbers, right? Temperatures and voltage and amperage and, you know, what those things look like over time, trends and tendencies. But nothing takes the place of being able to visually and audio, you know, look and see what something's doing. If you got a vibration problem or there's been a failure and you want to look at the condition of an asset, nothing beats the eyes and the ears.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, beforehand, before COVID, you know, if something was, had an anomaly out there, something that needed to be investigated, you'd have a bunch of people go out there, stand around that asset possibly and sort of look at it.
Right.
Now it's going to be that one individual go out to there. Everybody can see it via video to a certain extent. And so that whole social distancing solution is solved. You just look
at it. It really does actually kind of solve some problems in and of itself. You know, the old joke, there's six guys leaning on a shovel looking in a hole. Well, they might be leaning on a shovel, but they're all at home, you know, so we've got the social distancing.
Yeah, but we all know, we've all been there, and you're right, that leaning on the shovel mentality. Now it's, I see a sense of efficiency.
Yes.
And that's positive. And yeah. It's not as... Now, we were talking, I would like to sort of address this because I think it's important. Given the nature of what's taking place within this pandemic, I see the necessity for cloud solutions more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about Zoom, certainly a cloud solution, but everyone has figured out their ability to access systems remotely and to do their work essentially from anywhere. It's nice to have a PC and a nice big screen in front of you if you're in your office or in your studio like yourself, but pardon me, it's amazing what you can get done on a phone. I just mentioned to you, you know, I fixed the door panel with a telephone, you know, so it's plenty of video.
Yeah, I've replaced carburetors. I've cleaned carburetors with a video from my phone. Isn't that amazing?
So it's any device with almost any kind of connectivity. It can be a cell tower. It can be Wi-Fi at the home. You know, obviously, if you got a nice big fat fiber pipe, everything's a lot faster and cleaner. The latency's lower, but most systems overcome that with software now. You know, and you find that most things work incredibly well.
Yeah, and I think the future's bright when it comes to digitization. And I think that with all of the pain and the suffering and the challenges that have taken place as a result of shutting the global economy down, there have been really some bright spots, real positive outcomes. And I think the recognition of being able to do this remotely, effectively, efficiently, and I think that is one. I think the necessity to lean on solutions, digital solutions, are even more like the digitization, leveraging solutions like Maximo and being able to pull that whole thing together. I think that has become upfront too as well.
Right. Well, when you're dealing with global companies or just regional national companies, it was not always your first thought to get Bob 300 miles away on the phone when you were dealing with something. And now because everybody's working in the same fashion, in the same manner, you're probably talking to Bob 6 or 8 times a day. You're both doing the same thing with the same assets. You're sharing information. And I believe there's this mind meld occurring where we're benefiting from economies of skill.
Spot on. I like that point. Yeah. I've been preaching collaboration because nobody's gone through this. Well, Katrina, we had to get this area of Louisiana up and running, but it's regional. But nobody's gone through this from such a magnitude point of view. And I always think about collaboration.
Yeah.
You don't have all the answers.
We see and talk to our family and our friends more than we have in years. And the same thing's happening in business. Yeah. You have coworkers and you used to see them at the Christmas party or the annual get together, or maybe on a monthly call. Now maybe the propensity is to talk to that same person every day.
I like that. There's nothing negative with it. Unless you're talking to me and I get all, you know, crotchety, maybe that's the only negative part, but you're right. You can't communicate enough. And I think in light of Maximo, in light of what you do, in light of what your company does, I think that there is also a focus on innovation. What can I do better? How can I focus on it? And that to me is very important. And I think your company and others bring that to the table, and it's necessary now. You got to be innovative.
You have to be, and you have to have your eye on the ball. Just this collaboration and the amount of information exchange that's occurring, there's where a lot of your efficiencies are coming from.
Big time.
You know, people are getting things done correctly the first time and done better because there were more heads involved in the decision process.
Do you think it's sustainable? I mean, I love it. Do you think it's sustainable? Do you think this new world is, or are we going to go back to business as usual?
Well, I think some might. I don't think the successful people will. I don't think anybody's going to look back as successful.
I agree. I there is such a necessity to consume information and educate yourself. Just this whole, like Maximo and what you do, it's never stale.
No.
There's more stuff that you're always journeying to. A better world.
Right. And what you find with that, you're driving things forward, as you've said very well, is the need for people to have the most current products operating at the highest level of efficiency. So when you have on-premise business applications, they can get stale. There can be more important things from time to time. And your on-premise systems might be dated by a year or two, or sometimes three, four, or five.
Yes.
When you're consuming software instead of owning it, which I love to say is a huge difference, you shouldn't own software. It's a terrible investment. You should consume software. When you're consuming it, you want the latest, the greatest. You want to push the envelope and be the best. And as a service is perfect for that. You're always on current product. It's always running as fast as it can. You've got a service level agreement that the in-house people just can't touch because the repetitions and the scale that comes from as a service company, it's really a game changer.
I love it. And you know, I'll put on my old guy's hat, and when we'd have on-premise solutions, all fine. It was at the time, that's what we had. We had the whole server locker and all that good stuff. But I always will remember is when they have new versions coming out of that particular software, and it's a stack of CDs or DVD, whatever. It was a stack, and we'd have to shut everything down and talk to everybody. This cloud stuff, you don't even know it.
No, you wake up Monday morning, it's just there, right?
Look at that. It's there, man. There's a
if you're confused, you just go out to YouTube, watch a video, and it explains to you what happened. It's easy as it can be.
It is. And it's fast.
Yes, sir.
There's a sense of urgency you're nimble, you're fast, you respond quickly. I mean, there's nothing. Somebody out there show me a negative that's associated with any of this. You can't.
I'm not aware of it yet.
My mind.
But you know, you bring up a good point. When people try to cost justify SaaS, it's easy to talk about servers and software and security products and the labor to manage and maintain that stuff. Those numbers make sense because people are moving to the cloud at a rate of $30 billion a year. The numbers have to work, or people wouldn't be doing it. But what so often gets lost in the ROI calculation is what you just described. Oh, we've got an upgrade coming. Well, we got to have a meeting. 16 people have to sit around a table and say, well, you can't do it Saturday night because we're running blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
Next Tuesday is not a good day. Well, let's have a next, well, meeting next Thursday and see what we can figure out. And you, and it's all that latent loss of energy and time. And it's a, it just sucks the energy out of you. And nobody thinks that costs money. That costs all kinds of money.
It a lot. And I guarantee you, you've been in those meetings. You've sat around those conference tables. You've had that conversation. And I guarantee you, of the 10 people, 90% don't really give a rat's.
That's exactly right. They're there because they have to be. Not
that's exactly right. They're not pinpoint focus on doing this right. They don't care because they have other things to do.
Let me know when it happens. I'm all good with it. See you later. That's exactly right.
It is. And what I do love is the fact that this new world, whatever we want to call it, post-COVID, whatever, I think the forefront of solutions like Maximo, what you bring to the table, are meaningful conversations today.
Absolutely.
Because
people can relate to it.
They can relate to it because beforehand, I didn't realize and I don't understand. But I've gone through the pain. Now, all of a sudden, I'm laser focused on trying to come up with a solution that just, please stop this pain.
Right. Mommy, make it stop.
It's a big deal. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Yeah, and it's like some of these companies that we're talking about, what do we do with devices and laying them out there on the assets and start pulling the data. And now we got a system that's sort of, it's an edge. Do we get it? Do we put it in the cloud? All that stuff just went away. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, yep,
we
got to do that.
We can do that.
And you, the other thing that I see is that once you're in the game, once you have that rewired of your brain, looking from that digitization point of view, You're in the game. You're a part of the evolution of what's taking place here in Industry 4.0 or Manufacturing 4.0 or whatever it might be.
Absolutely, I think it's a competitive advantage. I really do think that people embrace it are going to take a leap forward, not a step forward, a leap forward.
Spot on, absolutely spot on. Steve, we're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
That's a shame because I always enjoy talking. Let's do it again soon.
It's good. It's a good time, man. I'll eat this stuff up all day long, man. And I don't know where it's going, right? I just know that it's exciting. You got a lot of great thinkers like yourself that are just thinking and pushing the. I love it. I love the whole thing.
I enjoy it thoroughly, and I'll talk with you about it anytime you like.
Look at that, man. You listeners out there. Hey, are you active out on LinkedIn?
Absolutely.
All right. Steve Richmond is his name. The company is Projectech. That's Projetech. Reach out to him. He's active. And Steve, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You were absolutely spot on.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you for having me.
All right, listeners, you hang tight. We're going to wrap it up on the other side, so don't go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, great interview, always with Steve Richmond. Once again, CEO and founder of Projectech. Go check him out. He's got a fantastic stack card out there on LinkedIn. Don't be shy. Reach out to the guy. He wants to help, and boy, does he just, he's a giver. You can tell by the interview, he's a giver. He wants to help out any way, shape he can. All right, you know everything will be out there on the Industrial Talk Podcast or Industrial Talk .com. All the contact information, everything that you need to know about Steve and his wonderful company. All right, again, let's just reiterate. You got to collaborate. You got to innovate. You've got to educate. And you've got to do it with a sense of speed because we want you to retain that talent. We want you to manage those risks. We want you to save as much money as you possibly can. Make money. You need to make money big time. And we've got to build businesses of resilience because you're surviving, rebuild, prosper. That's where we're going. We're going to continue to harp on that all day long. And that's what the Industrial Talk Podcast will continue to deliver. The best in minds, the best in thinking in industry and manufacturing. Okay. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what you're all about. Thank you very much. And we're going to be back with another incredible interview shortly.